The first lesson, which is also the sermon text from the book of Jonah, chapter 4, verses 5 to 11. Jonah went and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I am angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May I ask you a personal question? I'll take that as a yes. What is it that makes you angry? Slow drivers clogging up the left lane on the interstate? Bad service at restaurants? Inconsiderate spouse? Uncooperative child? What is it that makes you have to take a deep breath and count to 10 so you don't just snap? Well, hopefully, none of us would find this anywhere on our list of things that make us angry. The grace of God. Then again, we think about it, we're honest with ourselves. Maybe we would find that on our list, at least from time to time. God's grace is what has Jonah the prophet's blood boiling. Now, Jonah tells the Lord that it's something else. He tells the Lord it is the death of a vine that has him so angry. And he is angry about that too. But the bigger thing that has Jonah so upset is the grace of God. Jonah has just walked out of the giant city of Nineveh and taken a seat on a little hill to the east of that city, and he is sitting there, and he is waiting for something to happen. Now, Nineveh is in present-day Iraq, northern Iraq, just outside of Mosul. This is one of the hottest places on planet Earth. And to protect his prophet, the Lord provides Jonah, in addition to a little hut that Jonah has built for himself, the Lord provides him with a giant vine that springs up miraculously fast to protect Jonah from the sun and the heat. But then, just as quickly as that vine springs up to protect Jonah, it dies. And when the vine dies, Jonah says, "Lord, I am so angry about the death of that vine, I could die." Now, when someone says they're ready to die over the death of a plant, you have to figure there's some other base of anger underneath that, right? There's some other pent-up anger, and the death of the plant is just kind of pushing them over the top with their anger. And what really has Jonah angry, more than anything else, is what's not happening to the city of Nineveh. Jonah was hoping when he sat down on that city, he was hoping to see the Lord rain down fire on the city of Nineveh, to annihilate that entire city and obliterate all of the 120,000 people who lived in Nineveh. And it's not very hard to understand why Jonah wants to see that. For over 200 years, the empire of Assyria has been sending out armies, launching invasions from that capital city of Nineveh. And when those Assyrian armies go out to conquer, they take no prisoners. They don't just want to conquer people. They want to humiliate them, torture them, and exterminate them. Now, there are some historians today who are starting to think that maybe the Assyrians' bark was worse than their bite. But most historians of the ancient Near East still agree that the Assyrians are the most feared and fearsome people in the world at this time. When they go out to conquer, they're not just trying to expand their own territory. They want to humiliate and exterminate. And Jonah knows all about these genocidal savages from Nineveh, because one of the nations that the Assyrian Empire has already set their sights on more than once is Jonah's homeland of Israel. And Jonah knows that these Ninevites are not going to let up on his land of Israel until they have bulldozed it and erased it from the face of the earth. And that is why, when Jonah sits down on that hill east of Nineveh, he is hoping to see this divine pyrotechnic display come down and wipe out everybody in that city, because they are, after all, such horrible, rotten people. This is also why Jonah never wanted to go to Nineveh in the first place. The Lord came to Jonah and said, "You are going to be my prophet to the Assyrians. I want you to go to Nineveh. You're going to march up and down the streets of that capital city, and you are going to proclaim this message. You have 40 days to repent and turn to the Lord, the God of Israel. Abandon your wicked ways. If you do that, he will have mercy on you and he will spare you. If you don't, he will destroy you." The Lord gave that mission to Jonah, and Jonah immediately packed up and took off in the wrong direction. Instead of going east from Israel to Assyria, he went straight west to a city called Tarshish, which is probably in present-day Spain. If you want to put the best construction on this, maybe you could say Jonah was scared, right? Imagine going to the capital city of your arch enemy and saying, "You better convert to my God, and you better do it within 40 days, and if you don't, he's going to destroy you." Pretty scary. But if you read the whole book of Jonah, you'll find this is a man who does not scare very easily. He was not afraid. You know, well, maybe he was lazy. No, he had enough ambition to go the wrong way. He could have gone the right way. He had enough ambition to travel. Jonah didn't go to Nineveh because he didn't want the Assyrians to repent. He wanted them to get wiped off the face of the earth. Eventually, though, the Lord used a big storm and a big fish with a big gag reflex to call Jonah to repentance. And Jonah did repent. And the Lord also moved him back in the direction of Nineveh, and Jonah did finally go, and he did walk up and down the streets of that city and say, 40 more days. If you repent and turn to the God of Israel, he will spare you. If not, he will destroy you. But even as he was proclaiming that message with his mouth and his heart, Jonah was still hoping that the Assyrians would not do it. Now he walks out of that city, and he sets up to the east, hoping that the fire will come down from heaven and wipe them all out. But then comes the biggest plot twist in history. Nobody saw this coming, especially not Jonah. The Assyrians actually do it. They actually repent. And just as he promised, the Lord spares them and allows them to live. And this enrages Jonah. "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." See, this is what is actually making Jonah so dangerous. It's not so angry. It's not so much the death of a vine. He is angry about that, because at this point in the story, he cares more about vegetation than he does about human beings. The bigger thing is, Jonah doesn't like God showing grace, patience, and forgiveness to people like that. "It would be better for me to die than live. I am angry enough to die." But now the Lord has this message for Jonah. His concern is for people, even people like the Ninevites. Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. See, this is what God cares about. He cares about the people of Nineveh. Interesting. He cares about them so much that he even cares about their cattle, and many cattle as well. Now, what the Lord tells Jonah here is an important message for every Christian to hear and to learn and to take to heart, but it is especially important for a certain kind of Christian to take this to heart. It is the kind of Christian who is baptized as a little baby and then spends the rest of their life from that day forward growing in the Word of God, eagerly attending worship services and Bible classes. It is the kind of Christian who shows love and care for their neighbors, who works hard at their job, and who shows love and care for their family. The kind of Christian who gives time and energy and money to their congregation, because it is that kind of Christian, the strong, long-time Christian, that can most easily resent the grace that God shows to other people when they repent and they come to faith in Christ. That a strong, long-time Christian like that goes to the same heaven when they die as somebody who spends their whole life lying and cheating and stealing and carousing and then repents and trusts in Jesus when they're 80 years old. That a Christian like that goes to the same heaven as a serial killer who repents on his deathbed. What kind of system is this anyway? Where God gives the same grace, the same kingdom of heaven, even to those who come to the party late and empty-handed. See, this is what has Jonah so angry. The same grace for everyone who repents and trusts in the Lord. What kind of system is this? And actually, it is a system for every Christian to rejoice in and to cherish and to celebrate and to thank God for. Because here is what Jonah was missing in his situation. Jonah wasn't half as good as he thought he was. Jonah was plenty slimy himself. Jonah had to repent in the belly of that big fish and be forgiven by the Lord. Jonah was the one who had outright defied the Lord and gone off in the opposite direction. So if Jonah wants the Lord to give people what they deserve, then yes, fire is going to rain down from heaven and wipe out everybody in Nineveh. And right after that, one more little tiny fireball is going to fall on the hill east of Nineveh, and Jonah is going up in flames too. And you know, strong and longtime Christians who want God to give people what they deserve better be really careful what they wish for, because we all have plenty of sin in our lives. And if we want God to give people what they deserve, we are all going up in flames. This is what God is trying to get Jonah to see. He is trying to get Jonah to look at God's grace in a different way and appreciate it every time God shows that grace, every time another sinner repents, to rejoice in it the way the Lord does. And this is the way that God wants us to see his grace too, to rejoice in it every time another sinner repents. And the first thing we need to do is remember that we need God's grace as much as anybody else who repents and trusts in Jesus. And yes, many of us may have given a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of money in the Lord's service, but the thing is, he wouldn't even accept that service from us if it weren't for his grace. The only thing he would give us is punishment. But God has been gracious to you and me. And when he sent his son into the world, we didn't deserve that. That was a gift. That was pure grace from God. And everything Jesus earned for us in this world is a purely undeserved gift from God. The forgiveness of sins that he won for us, the promise of a resurrection and eternal life in heaven, these are all gracious gifts that we receive through faith in God's Son. And here is the really amazing part. Even the faith that receives those gifts, even that faith is God's gift to us. Even that is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It is all pure grace from start to finish. Salvation in Jesus Christ and the faith that believes it and receives that gift. That magnificent grace of God toward us is what causes us to appreciate it and celebrate it and cherish it every time another sinner repents and turns to God for forgiveness. Now, it used to be, whenever I got to the closing of a sermon or whatever on Jonah, I would always say something like this. We don't know if Jonah ever learned his lesson, but let's all make sure that we learn our lesson. Amen. And I said something about that recently during an online Bible study here at Trinity. I said, well, we don't know how this turned out for Jonah. And one of the attendees at the Bible class simply made the comment, but we have the book. Point being, it would be hard to understand why Jonah would record the story the way he did if he didn't finally get the lesson. That is an excellent point, and it's nice that I've been able to learn so much from you people so far. So, let's just assume, let's say yes, Jonah finally understood the value of God's grace for every sinner, but we can still say this. May God bless us with this perspective too, that the magnificent grace he shows to us causes us to celebrate it every time he shows it to another sinner, no matter who and no matter when. Amen.